process. See, most of us live constantly in the river of our mind. And this river, or these constant thoughts which we have, can make us even sick, physically sick. I would like to give you an example so that you know just how important it is to enter a genuine spiritual path, and perhaps even more, how important it is to transform our thoughts and our minds. I want to see. Maybe what we can do is to put the chairs outside, in case people come. Besser du sitzt auf dem Stuhl, weil das so schmuddelig da draußen ist. Why don't we put a few chairs outside? Just a few chairs, because yes, then people who come can come. Sheep a lot. Like this, yes. I think this will be all right for those who just come and sneak in. No. Yes. I wanted to say how important it is to transform ourselves, and what needs to be transformed are our thoughts and the constant stream of thoughts. There is a beautiful story to illustrate this, and this will also give you an inspiration, I hope, why it might be important for you to transform your own thoughts. There was this one man, he was a lifelong vegetarian, and he came to Mayapur, where he wanted to take his sacred bath in the Ganga. Mayapur is one of the main sacred places in India, and the Ganga flows there. It's very broad. In the rainy season, it's a few kilometers broad, isn't it? So this man had become a pilgrim and took his bath. Wanted to take his bath in the Ganga. So while he was, you know, there are two parts in the sacred bath. First, you take three dips in the water. The Indians always do like this. And so on. And then you offer to the Ganga water. You take your hands like this to make a cup, and then you offer in a worshipful gesture three handful full of waters to the Ganga. With this you worship her with something that is pure, but you also express, "My dear Ganga, I'm so poor. I have nothing really to offer you. All what I can give to you is what you have given me before, your own water." So at the end of this three circles, or three times, you're supposed to drink the water, and he was drinking the water, and while he was drinking the water, it occurred to him, he thought, "I'm swallowing a tadpole." In Deutsch, eine Kaulquappe. But those who are not knowing what is a tadpole in English, it's a little frog like this. Big head, little tail, and not much imagination. You know, that's how they move through the water. And he thought, "All my life I have been a vegetarian. Now I have come to the Ganga and I have become a meat eater. Too much!" Thank you, Rajesh. I had to go all this way on a sacred pilgrimage, and the result is I broke my most important principle of of ahimsa, no violence towards any creatures. It's all right, it's all right. I am surrounded with perfectionists, so it's all right. Go, Krishna, it is fine. So he became very distressed, and the distress became so much that he went onto the banks of the Ganga. He lay down, and he was wasting away. It was just so... his mind killed him. People came by and said, there are no frogs in the Ganga, only fishes, and so there are no tadpoles in the Ganga. You are imagining you have drunken a tadpole, but no, in essence you only are suffering because of an illusion in your mind. The man could not be convinced, he thought, but I was drinking, and there was something black. Yeah, the black must have been a leaf or something. No tadpole. Every day it was becoming worse, until he was just hours before his death. So at that moment a saint came by and said, what's the problem with him? Well, he dies because of an illusion. He thinks he has become a non-vegetarian, a meat eater, while he was on pilgrimage, and that he violated his most important principle. The saint said, but doesn't he know there are no frogs and no tadpoles in the Ganga? Have you told him? Okay, he said. To the people, bring me a tadpole. So they went to the next pond. There are many ponds in Mayapur. They got a tadpole, you know, these little things. And the saint carried this bowl with him, like saints do. And he said to the man, I know how to help you. Vomit. What is good? I'm dying already. Vomiting is too strong. No vomit. The tadpole might still be alive, you know. So he, the man who was dying went, and then it all came out. And then while he was not looking, the saint grabbed into his bowl and threw the tadpole into the thing. And he said, here, the tadpole is there. You have not killed anyone. The tadpole is here. I don't know how happy, but he is swimming there in your whatever. So now you quickly take the tadpole. Don't bring it in the Ganga, because it will die in the Ganga. There are no tadpoles in the Ganga. And bring it to the next pukur. The man did not hear the sarcastic beginning words of the sentence. He carried the tadpole into the pool and happily lived thereafter. My dear everyone, this story makes a very nice point. All of us, even Swamis, even Bhakti Yogis, Shamain people, Indian, Native Americans, Alaska residents, all have the stream of thoughts, of foreign thoughts. I think Amarananda is looking at his mobile social media at the moment. No? Stream of thoughts. No? The stream of thought is very... I can feel it. There's a big stream going in through your head. And we are totally identified with that stream of thought. And if it's not positive thoughts, it can really kill us. It can bring us into the hospital. It can bring, and we might be treated again and again, and the doctors don't know what is wrong. What is wrong is the stream of thoughts that goes through our mind and our heart. Unhappy thoughts, happy thoughts, thoughts directed to the future, thoughts filled with content of the past, you know, all this is there. And if we speak of transforming or changing our lives, it is here where we have to start. Here where we have to make progress. And for this, you do, for this transformation to happen, you need some transforming agents. Let me give you the example of water. Water can transform into fog or nebel or dampf. How do we say dampf?
Paper. Steam.
Steam, yes, steam. If we apply heat to it. So in the same way as water turns into something else, transforms into something else, while remaining in some ways the same, we can also transform into happy, blissful, encouraged, inspired, loving devotees. It is possible. If we have some heat, some transforming agent in our lives, I think the greatest adventure that is there for all human beings is the transformation of the heart. I will end, because I'm the man of stories, with something from the Sufi tradition. There was once a river, and the river was flowing with great energy and strength into a desert, and then it sank into the desert, and so on. So one day the wind said, "Why are you doing this?" The river said, "I'm dying every day 1,000 deaths because I want to cross the desert." "Wow," said the wind. "Well, then you have to stop being a river if you want to cross the desert and become a cloud." "Oh no," said the river. "I'm a river. I'm known. I have a name in Google Maps, you know, and I want to stay that." So the wind says, "I come back after a year. Let us see how good you, how you are doing." So after a year, the wind came back and he saw the same scenario. There was this poor river just wasting himself into the desert sand. "Should I take you?" said the river. Said the wind. "Yes," said the river. I'm now ready. "What will you do to me?" "I will blow and I will take you. I will transform you into a cloud and I will bring you across the desert, and there you can then become a river again at the mountainside and flow into the ocean." So the river agreed. The wind became hotter, it became more energetic, still more energetic, and it took the river up into a beautiful cloud, and it blew him all across the desert to the mountain range, and there the cloud rained down, formed a beautiful river, and flew into the ocean. I wish you all this good fortune. May you transform your anchors to the world. There are three anchors: I, me, and mine, that keeps you in this world. If you can transform that, you can go into the vastness of Krishna's transcendental being. Amarananda. But first, the river and the Google Map has to stop. Some of us are afraid to give up I, me, and mine. They think nothing is lost, nothing is left, but everything is there when you step out of this. Good. This is what I wanted to say to you. Now I'm quite interested to see if you have some questions. But how do you like it here? It's a nice atmosphere, no? Nice and cool. And hopefully inspiring. Who has a question? Not all at once. Govinda Priya. Yes. Yes.
In this process of transformation, it happens many times to many of us. I think that we are in a position where we need to hold two opposites at the same time. And it becomes quite hard even to understand and not let alone to do such a thing. And often happens that the pendulum swings us in one direction, but we know it's not sustainable. It has to come back. So if you, I don't know if you understand my question, but like how to hold the opposite that happens in us during this transformation, that we have to accept like different sides that seem to be quite opposite in balance.
What do you consider the opposites which you have to hold?
Sometimes even we do want a transformation, and we see the other like good
examples.
We are still called to a different that is quite opposite, or I don't know how to explain this. Sides to us.
You have always two sides in you. As long as you're in the material world, there is this body with its needs. I remember the night before this night, yesterday night, I did not sleep. I thought, let me be enthusiastic, and I went up to 10. I did not go to bed. I went up to 10 o'clock in the morning. And then I thought, now I can easily do many things. I can write my book and so on. And then I thought, oh no, this body is now so tired. I cannot think very, I don't have any mental energy, what to speak of physical energy. So you, as long as you're in the world, you may be so enthusiastic for your spiritual life, you have to take care of the body. And therefore, I think if you want the fruit of self-realization, you have to give water to the body of the tree. You have to do this. This is, and you have to do it with this. When you do it with a spiritual purpose, then it is not material life. It is spiritual life. Long ago, our team has developed one model to live, called the Tree of Life. We have taken this out of the Vedic scriptures, which compares this physical existence with that of a tree. So in order to have a good tree, you need to have a few things intact. You need the roots there, you need to have the tree trunk there, and you need to have the crown there, and you have to and you need nourishment. So also, as long as you are with your tree-like body in this world, you require roots. That is your spiritual activities, your spiritual practice, your spiritual consciousness, which has to go very deep. The higher you want to go, the deeper it has to grow, these roots. And then you need something for the physical well-being. I think you have understood the benefits of the traditional Chinese medicine. So when you leave Berlin, there should be some practices in you that takes care of your physical well-being. Sleep is important, diet is important, and exercise is important for physical well-being. Any forms in which you do this will be good. Then you need to do something for your emotional well-being. So important. That happens when you have a goal, a person who is focused on a goal which is inspiring to him, has such a happy emotion, such enthusiastic emotions. Many people have lost their vision for their goal in life. Something else you need for your emotional well-being is good friends with whom you can talk about the things that matter most for you, and then you have to stop this negative self-talk. That kills us. I'm not good enough. I'm not loved enough. I'm not capable and able enough. And finally, you need something to do for your social well-being. You know, that's the crown of the tree of life. Spiritual roots, the trunk, a strong physical body and mind, and social well-being. And one little word you need to know, balance. You will never be just perfect. I remember when I was a child, and even now, but I have now no chance to do this, I'm very interested in circus. My mother would have to take me to every circus in Hamburg. I used to live in Hamburg, and all the big circuses came to Hamburg. And there was one act which I liked very much, the high rope dancing, and you know, when they jump up and down, I went, ooh! And then they do saltos. So there was one person, I think he was from Spain. No, he spoke Spanish. Brazil, do they speak Spanish there? Brazil? Or Portuguese? You know, yes. So he spoke this language. It was a Portuguese or Spanish. So he came down after he had performed, and I said to him, in German something he didn't know. Then I had some of his colleagues came, and I talked to him and said, you were so good in your balance. And he said, no, I was constantly out of balance, constantly. But for this I have this, you know, they have this rod, or they go like so in you will never be perfect in your spiritual practice. You will also never be perfect in this world in your physical well-being or emotional well-being. This is very fragile. It's like dancing on a high rope in this world. But if you can live in a sattvic way, in a balanced way, you will make good for all the other things. So, yes. As long as we are in this world, we do have to deal with opposites. Sometimes we may be so exhausted, and sometimes we may not have interest in philosophy. We may then have to balance ourselves with something we can be interested in, a literature, we may even look at that movie that puts us back into balance. You know, when we are out of balance physically, we notice, oh my God, I'm so hungry and so tired and so moody. Then we have to do something to put the balance back again. And these things are known as sattvic life, no? To put the balance back. And especially in spiritual life, we can get out of balance. Sometimes we may need to do things like walk away from our busy life and go into a different environment. I think you know this, and then you return with strength back into the old environment. Tree of life, Govinda Priya, that is what you need to do. Yes, Shami, ne? Shami or Shami, yes.
Like in the same direction, when our mind is playing tricks on us, which is like the right balance to do, right? So how to know what to balance with what practice or with what kind of.
When our mind plays tricks on us, for instance, in the balance point. Shami, there is one very, very nice technique, and I might introduce it to you here even. It is to enter the Shakshi Bhava, that is to step back from your mind, not identify with any of the thoughts, and watch it. I find really no better analogy than a poem from Rumi to explain what is Shakshi Bhava. He says, greet every thought like the manager of a guest house. See the deal with the manager of the guest house deals with all guests that come in an impartial way. He deals with the friendly guests in the same way in which he deals with the difficult guests, because he knows they are just passing through the hotel here. So your human mind is a hotel. So many thoughts come as guests for some time. And you are only in trouble with your thoughts, especially when your mind tricks you, when you identify with the thoughts and do not see them any longer as a neutral camera would see the guest coming into the check-in point of the guest house to check in. Or when you can retain this neutrality, this neutral position, then you will be very, you will never be put out of balance. And what it's very simple. When you have to learn something like an inner traffic light, you stop when something comes where you're not sure. You said, I need to look at you for one moment from the distance. You go to the distance where the identification with the thought is no longer so heavy, so strong, so compelling, and you see, is it good or is it bad? And then you go back, and you might have to trick your tricky mind, you know, but not follow in his traps. There are many, many good examples of doing this. In my forthcoming book, it's a book on meditation. Gauravani helps me with finding the titles for the different chapters. That's finished already. Now we have a wonderful new revolutionary title for the book. We are teaching this stepping back, but for easy use is I suggest to you the emotional traffic light. Something comes, some thought, Shami, it's the thought, says, you need to do now this, urgently, quickly, run. And then you go, stop, red light. Let me not react immediately. Then you go back. Is this really true? Is this really good? Or will this bring me to the same place where I was already in my last life? And then you think and you find a better way to deal with this. And in this way you can actually even solve old, deeply ingrained habits, thinking habits and habits of acting. Shakshi Bhava. For me, I was interested in psychology before I took to the path of the monk, and I'm still interested to understand myself and others better, why they do things and say things. But this Shakshi Bhava is, Shakshi means witness, is for me the greatest benefit on the psychological level that the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam have to offer. And it has, how many wars could have been avoided? How many personal conflicts could have been avoided? You know, we could just take the not so useful thought and replace it with an idea of compassion, for instance. Ah, he's saying this because there must be something that is troubling them, no? I hope this has answered your question to some degree of satisfaction. This is my... Yes, I will... Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I would like to ask, you spoke in a workshop about your practice in Vrindavan, and you spoke how with the time the thoughts go away and more peacefulness and light comes into your practice. But when you're in the West, how do you do then? Because it's much shorter time. How do you enter this sacred space in a shorter time so that we can learn maybe for us?
I have not returned to the West. There is a technique in spiritual life where you are not... where you keep create and build your own space, your spiritual space. It is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami that you can mentally still reside in the Vrindavan. I remember once my spiritual master had come by steamship to the West. You know, he had little plastic shoes, white plastic shoes. They had a little pointer. They looked a little pointed to the end. At the end, and he had that Vrindavan head. He looked really like a ghost that popped out of the lamp of Aladdin in the West. He was always dressed like this. I've heard this on tape. There was a lady with a typical American accent, "Swamiji, you are now in America." How do you like it? And he said, "I'm not in America. I never left Vrindavan." So this, how one can do this, establishing the sacred space, is you have to have a practice where you it needs to be refreshed every day, the sacred space. You are bringing Vrindavan and what this means in your life. It's a forest of love where all the living entities, trees, plants, bees, are full of love for Krishna, and then prepare the ideal ground for the divine pastime. It's a totally spiritual place, and you do this meditation. The way you meditate is if you want, we could. Would you like to meditate being in Vrindavan? Those who are standing, hopefully you will not fall on the ground. I don't know if I can do it nicely with such a diversified crowd. Some standing. We have space. Not for everyone. Okay, let us take one mantra. And you can also, you know, you why not stand a little broad, you know, left foot 50 centimeters from the right foot. We say one mantra, clean, clean, clean. Oh. Yes. First the Om. Om. So, as good as we can. take a few deep breaths, please. In and out. And we will now say three mantras. Breaths. In your mind's eye, walk away from this world. You can do this by rising higher and seeing the world as you know it, as a round spherical object disappearing. Maybe for those who have seen the globe, you can see Europe disappearing, maybe America, Africa, whatever helps you to make a distance, rise into the universe and into the light. Surround yourself with light. Then this light turns into a blissful energy. You can experience this by going with your consciousness, your awareness, into your heart. Fix your mind into the heart space. And we will say the mantra Ram now three times. As you continue, see that in that blissful light, a beautiful divine forest appears. The trees that are shining, there are lakes, there's a river, there are lotus flowers in the river, there are beautiful clouds of flower dust waving through the forest, and everything and every being in the forest seems to anticipate the forest echoes with the voices of the birds and the bees, but everything is echoing with some, when will they come, a question. And as we sing now the mantra, envision how Radha and Krishna, with a procession of beautiful girlfriends, the Sakis, enter in slow steps of this divine forest of Vrindavan. Everything vibrates with love and laughter. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Everyone, one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Little louder.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare See, in bhakti, in relationship to the main practice of chanting, you find four levels. The first level is an outward-facing bhakti that is very much oriented to my friends and Krishna consciousness. When I chant and sit down to chant, such a chanter who is only with people, a people's man, will think, are my friends also here? I want to have a very groovy experience with my friends. No? This is one level, it is permissible, it is good. Then is another level of chanting. It is a level where you want to exit from this world and enter into the world of God. In the very beginning, when you are on this level, it feels a little lonely because you don't yet have a relationship, a spiritual relationship. You are dependent on nourishment from relationships with people you can see and touch. No? So that's the first level. But if you persist, you will come to this amazing experience that the world falls away and you will instead have the feeling of, wow, it's a light-filled space. It is almost comparable to the Brahman. Then, as you move on and persist in the kirtan, you will actually feel all of a sudden a type of flow happening. There is no blockade in your life any longer, no obstacle. You seem to move forward effortlessly. You are in a space where your effort is not required, and you become inspired during this time, highly inspired with joy, with inspirations of so many thoughts, of gratitude perhaps. No? This you could compare with the voice in the heart has opened, the super soul. But as you move on even further, you will leave this world that is, I will speak philosophically, manifested by three energies, tamas, rajas, and sattva, you will leave that, and all of a sudden, almost as if in the ocean of light, the ocean of no world, you know, appears an island, and something your consciousness feels drawn towards, and at that time you will see a divine forest appear, and you will see Radha and Krishna. If you are trained, this is the meditation explained by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. But again, it's a matter of practice. It may take you a few years until it comes naturally. Because in bhakti, we do not want to stay in the world of material concepts, not even nice concepts, not even super nice concepts, but we wish to go to a spiritual reality. And the Ishopanishad, you find this mantra, Hiranmayena Patrena. Oh, my Lord, please, this is said, this prayer, a mantra, after someone is no longer seeing the world just as a separate, not divine place. He sees this is part of God's energy, this world. No? Then he says, now please remove the veil that is covering your face so that I can see your beauty and your loveliness behind this. It is very scientific. Scientific is not the word. It is beyond all science and our concepts. It's the path which spiritually minded people have walked since time immemorial. And so, yeah, I wish you all the best. I hope one day I can meet you and you will say to me, I'm not living in Slovenia, I'm living in Vrindavan. While we talk in Ljubljana. Ljubljana happens to be the capital town of Slovenia, where this, the person who asked the question comes from. Good. Here is Amarananda.
Thank you very much. Regarding transformation, the story of the river, one of the obstacles is fear. Like the river had, what about my identity? I lost my identity too. Then the trust, the hope, finally he gave to the wind. So how can we transform our
fear?
Rather we feed our hope.
Yeah, there are people amongst us who are constantly feeding their fears, and it has become critical in their lives. This is dangerous. And it leads to dangerous self-talk, which happens in the mind. It can become chronic. It can become dangerous. I think we all have fears. I know my fears. You have to invest in some carefully in some type of what we can call ideals, spiritual ideals, and do what is possible for you. I want to tell you honestly my fear. I have been diagnosed as being lead poisoned. I have too much lead in my system, and the cause of it is after we have eliminated everything in the West, the vegetables in India, who are highly lead containers, and the agriculture is a scandal in India, and everywhere, even in holy places, these chemicals are sold to the farmers, and so yes, I am afraid that when I want to stay now longer in India, and my fear is I might become as heavy as a ton of lead, two tons. Is my body 1 ton? No, 82 kgs is not a ton. So 1 ton of lead, I might become as heavy. That's a fear. Now I'm still, but I know in that spiritual place in Vrindavan, I feel spiritually so inspired, not like in the West. I can see that, I can feel that. So what will I do? I have inspiration and I have fear. I have to now see how I can nourish my inspirations in such, and I have to take care also of the lead poisoning. Maybe I should eat through a face mask. <You know? laughs> No, I'm joking. I will have to ask someone who knows what to do in this case. And I have to see that the fear doesn't become too big, no? I will do this by monitoring it carefully, but then I will invest in small hopes. Small hopes you have to invest, and then the hope part in your life becomes stronger. What are your ideals? Do you have ideals, people out there? Do you have hopes? Do you have something Krishna does that inspires you so much that you want to jump out of the bed a little bit earlier in the morning? You know, this we have to find out, and we have to invest in these things, in small things. And as we go, we move higher and higher and higher. Let the light of hope fill the darkness. Hope, I would call it more Asha. Asha is a Sanskrit word. It means a sacred desire. Something sacred for me. But with the lead, I have now it's a Chinese doctor, Chinese medicine. I'm all a Chinese Wing Chun, Tang Chu, everything. Yeah, no, this is, I'm trying to speak. Good. I'm now looking secretly at the wristwatch without you seeing it. I'm getting this the sign, yes. What was it? Yeah. Good. This, by the way, is one of the angels of Bhakti Bloom. Yes. What? Her birthday. Wow. Zara, we have a song for you. Her name is Zara.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Zara, happy birthday to you.
Here comes the second angel, Lara, and together with Nandini and Kanu Priya, the four have, at a time when there was a life quake in their life, you know, there are earthquakes when everything changes, the houses fall and new houses need to be built, there are also life quakes. At that time, they have very nicely, these four ladies, Kanu Priya also, Nandini also, have done this. And then, of course, you can see here's Gadadha with this shirt from Bali. No, he told me. And Kala Kanta with a red angel dress. They have done this. The castle has been started by Gadadha and Kala Kanta, and they are giving this wonderful space for us to use. Yes. We started out with transformation and overcome, and Amarananda brought this point of fears, which need to be addressed. I gave you my own example, but many times fears are irrational, no? Like the tadpole fear. Many times they are irrational, but they occupy us, and if we have tolerated this for long, they take on a force of their own. They become almost like our inner drivers, you know. So in bhakti we always do everything positive. We don't work too much with the fears. For instance, we feel darkness cannot be destroyed even if you shift it around left and right. We feel we need to bring light into it, and then the darkness will go by the power of the light. That is our approach of inner growth subjects, and this inner light comes when we do our spiritual practices, and it's unlimitedly deep. I wanted to just say to you, some of the people who like kirtan, there's a lot of kirtan, like that this first level of kirtan where they don't have all these thoughts any longer. They become, they go into the no mind zone. And that is true. When the mind stops working with these material objects, we tend to receive the spirit which surrounds us, like oxygen surrounds us in the air. We tend to see it. But we can go further when we engage with bhakti practices, so that the Lord in the heart and His voice starts to direct us, and we enter a flow where we can see that directive presence everywhere, and we feel, wow, I'm living a life without effort. And then we can even, if we go further and engage further with bhakti practices, come to being in the presence of the Lord everywhere. And at that time, technically, we don't live in the material world any longer, because our perceptions have changed and our experiences have changed totally. We see everywhere the workings of Krishna and Himself. And then we are without worries. Then we just have to take care that we don't come under the clouds again. That goes very easy. So I think I will end here, because there is this prasadam, and it's nice. I want to let you go. But we will happily move on. Zara and Lara, since you are here, so we will now take prasadam from and then there is the evening program, perhaps at 8 o'clock. Is it true, or when?
There is actually a kirtan from our dear friend Krishnadas from South Africa.
Yes. At 8 o'clock it starts?
Eight
or
o'clock it starts
at 7:30. Oh, 7:30, okay. Then we will join you. Is it Krishna Das and friends who will sing?
I think so, yeah.
Am I counted amongst your friends? Good. All right, then let us end here. Thank you for being here, and Hare Krishna. Sami, can I please talk with dear and Fabian here? Hare Krishna.